Last week we began to study about living in the supernatural. Amen. Have you ever wanted to live in the supernatural, in the miraculous, where you see miraculous things happening in front of your eyes, like in the day of Jesus, when blind Bartimaeus, after 3 days of death, stinking death, rose up? Oh, you're still seeing it in lots of the world today. All things are possible to him that believes. For some reason, a lot of the church, though, they want to get fed, they want to receive, but sometimes they're not living in the supernatural. I mean, I'm talking about when a doctor tells you that you're going to die, or you have this wrong with you. If you live in the supernatural, number one, you're not going to receive the report of a doctor over the report of your Lord. Amen. The great physician. And what it does is just builds confidence that by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. Amen. Well, that's supernatural. When you start seeing results, manifestations on how you're praying about something, when it comes to pass, oh Jesus, that's living in the supernatural. But what we've been programmed to do is just accept what's going on, or we'll say things that we've heard in the world like, well, it's just my luck. It's just the way I was born. I'll never forget a girl tried to debate me at the college national finals in the foyer of where, I mean, there were hundreds of people walking, and she just happened to be at the church service that morning with her boyfriend who rides Bronx, and I just happened to say, God will heal you right now if you would just dare to believe it. If you're in a wheelchair. And I might have even told the story of when I was in Vega, Texas, doing a camp meeting with all denominations. It was probably enough people in these two sections that were there. It's a small community up in the Panhandle. And at the end of the service, most of you know I was with the movie 8 Seconds, made by Lane Frost, the bull rider that was killed at Cheyenne. His widow was with me giving her testimony. This has been 25 years ago. And so at the end of the service, I just simply said, hey, God will heal your body. He is still a miraculous God. A very supernatural God, and he wants us to live that way. If you have anything wrong with you, come on up here and we'll just lay hands like Mark chapter 16 says. Amen. Now remember, I was raised a little Southern Baptist boy. And if you've ever been to the Southern Baptist, they don't preach much on healing. They just don't. Now they'll put you on a list of about 100 names on it and want you to pray over them, but a lot of times they don't just get into that, but they do preach salvation, praise God, and that's what I got a hold of. Well, as the service was ending, here comes the people, and over here was a lady in a wheelchair. Well, I'm telling this story at the College National Finals, and I said, hey, man, God wants you to get out of that wheelchair, and by the way, that lady got up. And I mean, and the Baptists and the Methodists were on top of their chairs watching in the back. Never seen anything like that before. Well, we just happened to be in front of a bunch of believers, and I was preaching faith. Amen. Not doubt, not unbelief, not, I don't know if God can do that. Well, here we're in the foyer of the college finals, and the gal's mama happened to be in a wheelchair. And so she wanted to debate with me that God's will for her life was to be in that wheelchair. And she had great faith, and she ministered, and a lot of people's lives were changed because it was God's will that she be in that wheelchair. Well, I just didn't want to debate the Word of God in front of everybody, but I was bold enough to say, well, you know what? I thank your mama. God bless her. God can use her in lots of great ways, and I'm so honored. But if she got up out of that wheelchair, she would reach a whole lot more people. Kind of made that gal mad, though. And I had to ease on off before, you know, we just got in this verbal fight about what you believe. Well, I'm just here to tell you, I've been convinced of the Word of God. It is yes and amen, and you're not going to convince me any other way but God being a miraculous, awesome, healing God. Okay? All right, so last week we started talking in 1 John. I want you to begin to turn there all the way at the end of your Bible and come back about three books to the 1 John chapter 1. And we begin to talk about a fruit of the Spirit that will help you, and it's a very important fruit to help you live in the supernatural. And it's the fruit of the Spirit called love. Amen. Love. Not a perverted love, not a human love, an agape God kind of love. And if you're in love and you start learning about the love that's on the inside of you, if you're born again, I'll show you someone that will never be angry. Or if you get angry, you'll get out of it quickly. You won't live in that bitterness state, that spirit of anger. Why? Because of God's love. I mean, no one, when you're in God's kind of love, can even rattle you. They can't make you upset. They can't make you put things on Facebook trying to prove a point to somebody that might be reading it. When you walk in love, you'll just walk in the blessings and things just roll over the top of your head, and it won't come all the way on you and manifest into bitterness, anger, and strife, stress, being upset over something. Something someone said, something someone did, because you won't live in the supernatural until you operate in God's kind of love. And I'm talking in all areas of your life, in your marriage, at school, in your business, at the ranch, on the farm, whatever it might be, if you really find out God's love that's available to you, agape love now, oh man, it will open up the supernatural like you've never seen in your life. Amen. Those old things that are causing you to be bound, the addictions, the oppression, man, that stuff would just be cast off like nobody's business if you start finding out about God's kind of love. Amen. Now listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, and I think we read down into verse 7, but let's just start in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Say that with me. Love is of God. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then He's talking to you. Your God is a God of love. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God, say it again, is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only Son, it uses the word begotten, into the world that we might live through Him, the Son, Jesus. Herein is love. Now, look at me just for a second. Think about that. Don't you think it took immaculate, supernatural love for a father to send his son? And don't you think it took supernatural, miraculous love for a son to give his life a cruel death on a cross for you and I? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation of our sins. Now that's a good, I would shout right there. I mean, that makes the Episcopalian shout usually. That our God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to be in and stand in a place so that sin doesn't have to control you and I as believers. Amen. Oh man, that can go down a rabbit trail right there, because lots of people live by the old scripture that says, you know, preacher, we all fall short of the glory of God, and sin is just part of our lives. We live in a fallen world. Well, yes, all that's true, but not when you're born again. Sin is not supposed to have dominion over you as a believer. You know why? Because you have the love, the Jesus Christ that has a name above all names. You have the one that truly loves living on the inside of you. And sin does not have more power than Jesus and his love. So that's why the multitude of sin, the blood covers. That's why sin in Romans says that it doesn't have power over you and I as a believer unless we let it. And then we submit to some sort of sin. Okay. And then, you know, that's when the devil brings guilt, condemnation for the things you've done wrong. Get rid of all that mess, y'all. Get rid of that guilt and condemnation. Just understand that if you are doing something wrong, just make it right. Because God's a great, gracious, awesome God that will forgive you no matter what. And then, guess what? He don't even remember the sin anymore. Amen. Your friends and family will remember it, but God won't. See? Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15, whatsoever or whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. All right, look at me. I pray that every single one of you have confessed that Jesus is your Lord. If not, you'll do it here in a little bit. Amen. There's no reason not to be saved. You need a Savior in the world that we're living in. It's very chaotic. It's chaotic. You need a Savior. Okay, listen to this again, though. So whoever of us shall confess, that means with our mouth, not underneath your breath, not in your mind, you confess Jesus is Lord, that he's the Son of God. God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love, there's that word love again, that God has toward us, because God, say it with me, God is love. Say it again, y'all. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Man, when you've got the love of God, you can stand boldly when that day comes to stand in that great judgment day place. And have the boldness to say, I'm going to reside in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Excuse me. By the way, Jesus, he's going to have this book on that day that has your name recorded in it if Jesus is your Lord. And that's when the Father, and you're going to have the boldness to know what the Father's fixing to say. He's going to say, well done, Well done, Dahl. Well done, Faith. Well done, Corey. Enter. Oh, man. And this is when I'm going to have, hopefully the Lord will let me, I'm going to have Ricky with the fiddle right there. And I'm going to do a jig into heaven. Because God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. Amen. You know. I don't know if you'll even want to do that. You know. Oh, it's going to be together. Well, I mean, we're not going to go together, but it'll be together. So I'll figure all this out when we get there, okay? Seventeen. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love. Man, underline that. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That's what we're trying to get us to get a hold of today, is love, so that we don't have that spirit of fear. Verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Ay, ay, ay. Equal la hombre. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love a God who he has not seen? You see. Verse 21, and this commandment have we for him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. I want to quickly give you a few things just in these verses that will help us operate in God's kind of love. And listen to me, don't deny God's love. It's not a perverted love. As we talked about last week, it's not a brokeback mountain, ungodly love that he tried to put on the Western world, the old devil, talking about the devil. Because anything good, the devil's going to pervert, right? That's why pornography is so rampant in people's lives, and even in the church, is because, man, if he can get you on to that kind of love, man, you won't live in the supernatural. You'll live in defeat. So get rid of that junk. Just get rid of it and say, God, I turn that junk over to you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to live in a worldly kind of love. I need to live in God's love. Why? So that you can operate in the supernatural. Man, when you guys get a hold of the Word of God with your influence, all them kids looking up to you, when you get a hold of that kind of love, and you teach them the right way, oh man, you want to talk about power. Whew. I mean power. And you want to talk about the love of God on your life? I mean, He'll bless you just because of your heart. I mean, we have influence, y'all, in different areas. And we've got to use the love of God in the right way so that things can happen supernaturally instead of, well, someone else got killed. There's another mass murder. No. The church needs to be bold enough to go ahead and tell our government the only way we can stop seeing mass murders is not trying to get rid of a gun, because that old gun didn't do a bit of the murder. But the human heart that is not operating in God's kind of love is the ones that are committing those types of tragedies. And if we start teaching the true agape love, man, they'll just melt down and start loving on people instead of killing them all. Come on, y'all. I mean, we got to start getting a little bit bolder as cowboys and cowgirls and city folk and wannabe cowboys. Anyway, just kidding. Listen to me. Agape love is the answer. I told you all last week, money is not the answer. Healing is really not the answer. Deliverance is not the answer. Those are a byproduct of you believing and you operating in God's kind of love. God wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you to live in success. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free. But you got to operate in the right way. God's kind of love that is the true deliverer. Say amen to that. Amen. So, to walk in the realm of the miraculous, we've got to understand the love of God. And this whole chapter is what will help you. Now, let's just go over it really fast so that we can walk out of here today operating in God's kind of love. Because listen, you know what's going to happen. When you start trying to operate in God's kind of love, you'll go out in the world. Remember, we live in the world, but not of the world. You're going to have to be around a bunch of crazy folk. You're going to have to be around and probably hear at times a bunch of junk. You've got to be more mature than to let that junk come in the ear gate and then meditate in the heart. You've got to cast out some thoughts. You've got to speak the opposite of what the world speaks. Remember when I told y'all years ago that guy, as I came up to a gas pump just to fill up, and he wanted to make small talk, and he said, "Whoa, isn't the economy bad?" And you remember what I said? I said, "I'm not participating." He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, "I'm just not participating." And he just stood there because he did not understand and wanted to know what was going to come out of my mouth next. He never said one word. He leaned over with that weird look on his face. "What are you talking about?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "I decided that I wasn't going to participate in the economy of the world." And then here's an open door, right? He's the one that opened it. I said, "Because I've decided to live in the economy of God's Word." Amen. And I'm telling you, I talked to that guy for a while. I don't know if he received what I was saying, but he heard it. It went into his ear gate because all the negative stuff was trying to come into mine. "Yeah, you know, the economy's bad, stock market's down. How are you going to make it?" And I just declared, because I decided to live in the supernatural, I decided to live in the miraculous, I decided to live in God's kingdom and not into the kingdom of the world. And it took some effort, trust me, because it's easy, y'all, to live in the ways of the world, because you hear it all the time. But when you live by God's word, you live in the realm of the miraculous over and over. And it's going to take some effort for y'all to get around the right people. Because there may be some people that you're around that's just quite negative. Don't look at each other. There's times when you've got to not stop being their friend. I've always said you need a heathen friend. But the only reason to have a heathen friend is to get them born again, set free, delivered, and healed, and then go find another heathen friend. Not to go down to their level. You know, "Well, I come to church, I want to get fed the word of God, but then on Monday, I'm going to go to brother so-and-so's house so we can drink a little beer." No. No, you've got to get out of that realm so that you can operate in the ways of the miraculous, the supernatural. And it's only going to be by God's love. You notice that the first thing you need to know in order to get in the know of God's love is to know God. Remember, that's exactly what verse 7 says. "Beloved, let us love one another, for the love of God... For the love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows," underline that word "knows" if you have the King James, "and knows God." It's very important to know your God. "Yeah, but I'm not a preacher." It doesn't matter. You don't have to be behind a podium to know God. You just need to spend some time with your God. He's your God. What do you spend more time in? Who do you spend more time with? Well, that's who you become. I mean, we've always said it in roping. You want to be a great roper, you get around a good roper. Someone that's better than you. Well, it's the same thing with your God. Glory be to God. Here's the second thing that I found that you see in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The second thing you need to understand about God's love is live through Him. Amen. You can do it. Don't let the devil convince you that you can't because of what you did back when. No, if God is on the inside of you, I don't care how much knowledge you have of Him, how much time you spend in prayer, how much time you spend in the Word of God, you've got to start knowing your God. Man, you want to talk about manifested miracles. It'll happen all around you. It kind of be like Peter. People will walk into your shadow and get healed. Not because of you, because of the God that lives on the inside of you. See, all right? Here's the third thing that will help you live in the miraculous is verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation, whatever that word is, for our sins. In other words, look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. That's the third thing you got to get a hold of. You got to start loving people. You know those ones that you'd rather send to hell than to love them? And I know right now you're all thinking of them. If you just love them like Jesus loves them, oh, that's how you walk in the miraculous. You start loving people. It's going to take God's kind of love to do that. Would you all agree to that? Here's number 4, and I only have 6. Verse 16. Look at verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love of God. How many of you know it's important to believe? Number 4, believe the love of God. It's not hard for most of us believers because, again, if you have ever understood the love of your God, and there, I'd see them turning on the air conditioner because I'm sweating up here, boy. We got to believe in the love of God. Believe it, y'all. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Golly. This has lots of love for you. But you got to know it like you do. So my niece says, I know. Confidence. But I bet there's people in here that really doesn't truly believe that God loves them. Oh, man, the devil, he starts, yeah, but why am I going through this if God loves me? And then you get into all that woke crap. Can you say crap in church? Anyway. Well, what do they say? Well, if your God loves like you said, then He would accept us how we are. Well, the problem with that is there's confusion on how God created you. Because I can promise you, God did not create a man to all of a sudden become a woman. Amen. He didn't. There's confusion, you see. Well, you're not going to operate in God's kind of love. Listen to me. And I'm telling you in Jesus' name, you've got to believe in the love of God for your life. Because if you don't, she can't have the love that God has for you. It's going to be a hard trying to make it up all the time. And I'm telling you, if you get God's kind of love on the inside of you, then all the old things that tick you off won't tick you off anymore. And if you got the God kind of love, then your wife won't ever be ticked off hardly anymore at you. And then there won't be any nagging. Come on, brother. You. By the way, Mama, if you're watching, my wife, man, I love you. But it's the truth. Okay, all right, real fast, and we'll close. Look, so we got to believe the love of God. Here's two more, and all of you know it. Verse 18, there's no fear in our God, right? Let's all read it together. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. If you're afraid of anything, if you're afraid of commitment, you're afraid of even things that might hurt you. If you operate in God's kind of love, there's no fear in His love. I mean, nothing will bother you. You won't be... There's a stinking rodent that's in the attic of our house. So about 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, I hear this, and I'm like right behind the wall where our bed is, and I'm like. And then you know what your mind does. That's a demon. The devil is in our walls trying to get in. And the Spirit of the Lord won't let them come in. And then I remembered, no, that's actually a squirrel, I think. Because the guy got up in there and there's a lot of areas. It's a pretty new house, y'all. Like 5 years old or so. And they can get in there and then they go... And I mean, they make, it sounds like they're chewing the fan. So you know what happens then, right? You're thinking, okay, the fan's fixing to fall on us. Now, this might be going a little far, but I'm not going to let fear overtake me in the middle of the night because of some squirrel. I've got a .22. The only problem is there's going to be a lot of holes in our roof. Perfect love casts out fear. Here's the last one. Verse 21. And this commandment we have with we for him, that he who loves God loves also his brother. If y'all want to walk in the natural, in the supernatural, the miraculous, you got to start loving your brother no matter what. I'm not saying hang out with them. Yoking yourself to unbelievers. Yoking yourself to people that badmouth you. Being around people that just aren't good for you. No, I'm talking about you got to start loving your brothers no matter what. Y'all that are having issues with marriages, why don't you just start looking in the mirror? And perfect your own love, not their love. You can't do anything about their attitude, the way they treat you, but you can always deal with your own love walk. I want to live in the supernatural. When these cowboys come to me like they do constantly, that they're pray for their family because they're dying of cancer. Pray for their marriages because the enemy has attacked it in some way out there in the rodeo world. I want to see that deliverance. I want to see that miracle. I don't want to, well, I hope that brother gets healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. I want to see it now. I want to see now faith. I don't want to hope that, you know, well, they'll get healed when they go to heaven. Of course they will. But you don't need healing in heaven. Amen. We need it here. Amen. It's just going to take people to start operating in God's kind of love. If you'll do that, watch what happens in your life. Those people that are just tacky and mean to you, when you go, man, I just love you no matter what. Oh, it's going to freak them out. They're going to think, who are you? But you know what it's going to do? It's going to change them, or it's going to cause hot coals to reap on their head. God's kind of love is what we need today to see the miraculous. To see people raised from the dead. To see people healed by the power of God when the doctors have already wrote them off. To see God move in a miraculous way, we need to see that right now. Where's the devil attacking more? Kids, younger generation, trying to pollute their mind. I told my kid, I'm not against you not going to college. Number one, it saved me a lot of money. But it probably saved your mind. But rodeo kids are a little different because they go to the junior colleges where the professors aren't quite as bad. But what is the enemy after? Young. Trying to get them to do things that they know wouldn't have been allowed in mom and dad and grandma and grandpa's day. And then the devil starts whipping them up, beating them up. No, just walk in God's love. Amen. And let's see lots of people start getting saved, healed, delivered, set free to God's glory. Amen. All right. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you. It is an honor, sir. You called a call to anybody else to pastor this church. It is an honor that you called me. So I don't take it lightly. Father, I'll do exactly what you instructed me to do. All the years ago when I finally submitted to the call of the fivefold, being very apostolic as an evangelist, but yet then pastors. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that the call this morning is to see people saved, healed, delivered, set free. So if there's anyone at the sound of my voice, sir, that has never made your son Jesus their Lord, I ask you to draw their heart to you right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you're watching us somewhere, sometime, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. The believers in here that have, we're going to pray a prayer with you. You're not going to have to pray it by yourself, but I'm talking, you don't know if you go to heaven when you die or hell, or maybe you haven't even thought about it. I'm going to ask you. I can't make you. I'm going to ask you to choose heaven. That's what John 14 says. There's only one way to the Father in heaven. It's through Jesus. Right above that scripture in John chapter 14, Jesus says, because I am the way, the truth, the life. Is Jesus your Lord? I want you to bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth, but I want you to have heaven here. Here on earth. Peace, true joy, true love. So if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with me and all the believers in here. And pray it out loud. You ready? Ask Jesus to come into your life by praying this prayer. Say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth, according to the Word of God, in John chapter 14, in Romans chapter 10, all through the Word of God, that says, if I'll confess that Jesus is Lord, I'll be saved. So Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord right now. Every sin, I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. I'm not going to embarrass you and have you walk to the front or stand up or do anything. But I do want you to be bold enough, if you just ask Jesus to come into your life this morning, I don't want you to ever be ashamed. Jesus was never ashamed to die for all of us. Please don't be ashamed that He's now your Lord. If you just prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life for the very first time, you prayed that prayer, you meant it, you never had asked Jesus to come in, but you did. This morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. And you're saying, God, I prayed that prayer. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what I want you to do with boldness. If you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you. Just giving you a Bible. If you didn't get one, then get your hand back up. I saw that hand in the back. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. I'm telling you, thank God people give their hearts to the Lord. Amen. Come on.